an introduction. I loved fairy tales as a boy. I love them as much now. I do not know what I will be like as an old man, but I can confidently predict that I will love fairy tales then. 20 years ago, I found myself at a party in Tucson, Arizona. I was standing outside talking to the wonderful author Jane Yolen and the wonderful editor Teresa Nielsen Hayden, and being grateful that I was wearing a big leather jacket that had seemed so foolish in the desert heat of an hour before, because it gets cold in the desert at night, when I saw a falling star. It was not the momentary streak of light in the night sky I was used to calling a falling star. This looked like a blazing diamond on a background of black velvet, and it fell achingly slowly. I thought, it fell over there. I could go and get it. And I wondered whether it would be a lump of meteoric rock, or a burning diamond, or something even more unlikely, and stardust in its grand strokes anyway was born at that moment. The village of Wall had existed in my head for some time, and a falling star seemed like an excellent way to propel someone across that wall. I told Charles Vess my idea for a story, and 2 years later I bought a fountain pen and a large green leatherette notebook, and I sprawled on the sofa at my friend Torrey's strange bridge house built over a London canal, and I began to write. In my head, I was writing in about 1922. There was no fantasy genre. I was writing a book for adults, a fairy tale, for those who liked and appreciated that kind of thing. I would write it with a self-conscious narrative voice and tell it as a tale. The book was published in a lushly illustrated edition by DC Comics with a painting by Charles Vess on every page. It was published by Avon Books and their Spike imprint, and in all manner of shapes and formats ever since. It was made into a film, which was well-loved and made me very happy. And now, 15 years after it was first published, it's out in a beautiful hardcover edition once again. I asked my editor, Jennifer Browell, if we could make it look like a much-loved book from 1922, and she has, and I'm grateful. And with DC Comics' blessing, Charles Vess returned to decorate it, and I'm delighted. And there is nothing more I could possibly want, except one day to write another story about Tristram Thorne. Or one day, finally, to send poor Jenny Curtin to the town of Wall as it is now, in search of love and forgetting. Neil Gaiman.
Chapter 1, in which we learn of the village of Wall and of the curious thing that occurs there every 9 years. There was once a young man who wished to gain his heart's desire. And while that is, as beginnings go, not entirely novel, for every tale about every young man there ever was or will be could start in a similar manner, there was much about this young man and what happened to him that was unusual, although even he never knew the whole of it. The tale started, as many tales have started, in Wall. The town of Wall stands today, as it has stood for 600 years, on a high jut of granite amidst a small forest woodland. The houses of Wall are square and old, built of grey stone with dark slate roofs and high chimneys. Taking advantage of every inch of space on the rock, the houses lean into each other, are built one upon the next, with here and there a bush or tree growing out of the side of a building. There's one road from Wall, a winding track rising sharply up from the forest, where it's lined with rocks and small stones. Followed far enough south, out of the forest, the track becomes a real road, paved with asphalt. Followed further, the road gets larger, is packed at all hours with cars and trucks rushing from city to city. Eventually, the road takes you to London, but London is a whole night's drive from Wall. The inhabitants of Wall are a taciturn breed, falling into two distinct types. The native Wall folk, as grey and tall and stocky as the granite outcrop their town was built upon, and the others, who have made Wall their home over the years, and their descendants. Below Wall, on the west, is the forest. To the south is a treacherously placid lake, served by the streams that drop from the hills behind Wall to the north. There are fields upon the hills on which sheep graze. To the east